Kenny, how you doing?
I am doing great, John.
Oh, yeah?
It's a little chilly out here this morning, but, you know, we're still surviving. We're still waking up each morning, and we're still playing some pretty decent golf.
We're here for the Mike Goodis Pro-Am, and obviously he's one of the few guys that came out on tour, the Champions Tour, with no experience from the PGA Tour. It seems like that's a less and less likely possibility going forward.
Well, you know, it's pretty amazing what he's been able to accomplish. You know, the qualifying school is brutal on the Champions Tour. You know, they only give four or five spots, maybe three, I don't know. And then it's only for 1 year.
Right.
And if you don't finish in the top 30 on the money list, you know, you're back at it again trying to get those four spots. So he's been amazing to get out here, get his card, and keep his card, which is saying a lot out here on this tour. Because it's really shocked me, this tour has shocked me, because – it pretty much wanted to run me back to the PGA Tour, how the quality of play that's out here and how low you got to shoot. It's phenomenal. I played Houston, was my first tournament last year. I played for 2 years. I hadn't even played a full season yet. But we were playing the Woodlands, where we've played the PGA event forever, and I shot like 3 under, and I lost by 16 to couples who shot 19 under. And I thought, uh-oh, something is seriously wrong out here on this tour. It's been a learning process for me. I'm back at, you know, I'm a, you know, semi-rookie. I'm having to figure out how to play all these new golf courses and where to go, where to travel. Same old scenarios when I was a rookie on the regular tour.
Is it fun?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. The competition, the camaraderie of all the guys, and hanging out with, you know, just listening to all the stories. And I guess we all kind of live in the past a little bit. We all talk about what we used to do. And one little story, I was paired with John Cook, and, you know, I shot like 74 first round. I was pretty mad. He came up and shook my hand. He says, well, you know what we say on the Champions Tour? And I said, you know, I was like, ah, it's kind of, you know, graveling. He goes, good luck on the weekend. And so it kind of changed my perspective a little bit. I've come to really love this tour. At first, it was kind of hard for me to give up my dream, the PGA Tour. Even though I was fully exempt this year, this was my last year of fully exemption. I won twice in 09, so that gave me 10, 11, and 12 to compete. And I just, you know, 27 years of it, I just said, you know, I've had enough. And
at what point did you make that decision? Because I was there in 09. I watched you win twice and thought, you know, this guy's going to be out here until he's 55.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got a grandson now. He's 2 years old. I've got a granddaughter coming in about 2 weeks. My son got married 2 weeks ago. You know, the Perry life is changing, and it's changing for the better. It's been awesome what we've seen grow in our household. But, you know, I got to thinking, you know, I'm going to be dead and gone if I don't sit and relax and enjoy what I've accomplished over the last 30 years. I've been a pro for 30 years. And so, you know, that's when I said, you know what, I'm going to slow down a little bit. I'm going to enjoy I think I played 7 times on the regular tour this year, and I'm going to play, you know, 18 times on the senior tour. So to me, you know, that's still way too much golf, 25 events. I need to kind of get that back to about 20 or something and just enjoying my life a little bit.
You've enjoyed the game, and the game's been good to you. You give back an awful lot. You have a golf course in your hometown. Is there anything in terms of off the golf course stuff that you want to give back to the game going, you know, when you look at, say, I'd like to start a foundation, or I'd like to do this to help.
Well, great question. I've just started my foundation. I mean, we just started it. We just got it, you know, gone through all the legal processes, and it is just now going to get ready to kick off. But I have fully funded and supported the Boys and Girls Club there in Franklin, Kentucky. I watched it from the inception of it, and watch it grow from 20 kids to now 350 kids, and we just built a gymnasium, and we got a great computer lab for those kids. And you know, I've given a ton of money to that facility, and it's just something that our town needed. You know, I'm from a town of about 10,000 people. It's mostly a farming community. It is just a rural area. It's a beautiful place, and that's another reason why I built the golf course. You had to drive 30 miles to go play golf. I was lucky enough to be a member at the country club there in Franklin, and that's where I learned to play golf, and Dad taught me how to play. And so, you know, we had no public facilities. So I built my little 18-hole course in 19. We opened in 95. The thing's almost 20 years old, man. Time's flying. And it's doing great. It'll do 30,000 rounds a year religiously. That's what it does. You know, it's like $28 for carton of greens fee. And, you know, I've got Zoysia fairways and bent grass greens. It's always in decent little shape. And it's not the longest. It's probably 6,700 yards long. And I left all the trouble left. There's no trouble right. So everybody who slices, which is 95% of America, slices a golf ball, they can just play all day at my golf course and have a grand time. So, you know, I've tried to promote the game of golf in my town, something I've thoroughly loved and enjoyed. It's been my whole life and my passion. And, you know, kids have always been a big thing. I coached a high school golf team for 4 years, and when my son and my daughter were playing. So that was a thrill to get to kind of hang out with them. I kind of shut my season down in August. And we had fall golf, so I got to spend all the time with the kids. And then once they graduated and kind of gone off and gone, I kind of scaled back and kind of focused in on my golf a little bit more. And that's when I kind of went on that run late in my career, in my late 40s. And had a phenomenal run there up to 49. You know, I was 49 when I won twice in 09. I won three times in 08 and was able to be on that victorious Ryder Cup team at Valhalla, something that we need again, badly.
Talk about that for a second.
Oh, my goodness, I was dying. I was so mad. I was watching the singles match, and I actually shut the I was so mad I shut the TV off after the fifth red flag went up on the board. And I was like, oh, my, because I know the momentum. I know the pressure that the Ryder Cup puts on you. I knew those last four or five matches were going to be under extreme scrutiny and pressure, and I felt all that. I was on two teams. We got destroyed in Detroit on Hal Sutton's team, and I saw all those red flags on Sunday, and I was having flashbacks. I was just having all these memories of what I felt like, and just it was eating at my gut, and I was like, this cannot be happening. And I was hoping, man, I'm giving them bad luck. I'm shutting this thing off, and they're going to somehow pull this deal out. And I was at my golf course, and I was in the shop, you know, and I'd go hit balls for a while, and then I'd come back and sneak in and look at the match, see how they're going, and I was like, oh, no. And then I end up watching the last couple matches. It got really exciting there at the end, and we almost had a miracle. We almost, you know, went from should have killed them to almost, you know, having a miracle to win the cup back. And so close. I hate it for Jim Furyk. I hate it for Steve Stricker. Jim Furyk, you know, people were saying, well, they're too old. Well, I was 48 at Valhalla and got 3 points. So, I mean, I was like, I disagree with the oldness, and I disagree with the heart and the soul. It's just golf. You know, those guys got under a lot of pressure, and, you know, you miss a 4 or 5 footer, swings the match, and the match gets flipped and momentum changes. And you're trying so hard. And I know Jim Furyk's heart and soul because he was my partner. And that guy is a great competitor, great man. I love his insight in the game of golf, and I love his competitiveness and his fire. And, you know, he's got a great fist pump, and he made a lot of crucial putts for me at Valhalla. And I hate to see him take it so hard. He just said it was probably the lowest point of his career. I know he said it was for his year. But that just shows what the guys, how much they care about the game of golf, care about their teammates, and they care about their country, and they want to win. And, you know, it's just when you only do it once every 2 years, you know, you're just not in that team atmosphere, and you all of a sudden it's all thrown upon you, and it comes down to one match. It's the pressure is ginormous.
There's nothing else. I mean, they all say there's nothing you can compare to in the game of golf. There's nothing like the first tee of the Ryder Cup, I guess maybe the 18th green at the Ryder Cup.
Well, I tell you what, I was so torn up at Valhalla, you know, being in my home state and with everybody watching, that I was going to hit off the odd holes. I was going to be on the opening day Friday morning. I was going to be the one to hit off, and I was so nervous I couldn't do it. I told Jim, you're going to have to hit this shot. I said, I can't do it. I physically could not have done it. I was shaking so bad and just so out of sorts and so hyped up and adrenaline and just amped, ready to go, you know. But I was like Keegan Bradley. I loved that kid. That guy was on fire. Just couldn't, all his energy was just unleashed. And Jimmy hit it right down the middle, and I had 150 yards. I hit an 8-iron probably 15 yards left of the green because I was so pumped up. I just got way – it just accelerated my hands so hard, and he chipped it to within an inch of the hole, so all it was conceded. I didn't have to putt or nothing. And, you know, that's the way it all started, and it settled me down immediately, and we went on, you know, to win matches, and it was just a phenomenal event.
Before I let you go, it's going to be announced later on today that Ken Venturi is going into – the World Golf Hall of Fame. It's been talked about for 20 years now. What are your thoughts and what would you message
well
me?
Well deserved. Love Ken Venturi. Just love sitting down and talking to him. Loved him on the voice of the tour. He carried the tour. You know, I just remember watching as a kid and when he was announcing. And then, you know, everybody remembers his walk, you know, of dehydration and winning that tournament and just so out of sorts and still was able to somehow will his way to win a golf tournament, to win a major. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's about, you know, making the game better, recognizing growing the game. And Ken Venturi definitely did all that. He's always been a great man. He would always come to our Ryder Cups, and he'd always, you know, President's Cups, wherever, come to terms. I'd sit down and talk with him, just had wonderful conversations with him. I can't think of a more deserving person. I think it's the right time for him. I can't wait for the acceptance speech because it's going to be a great one.
He and Freddie together. That's going to be a lot of fun. KP, thanks.
You got it, John.